I literally had never heard a person say that word out loud to my face until Christmas Eve at his cousin's. And yeah, I fair. Don't know what. I think
often.
I was drinking that year in the suit. Was you I think were. I got
yes.
hammered
yes.
with your cousin
yes.
Ashley because I was like, I cannot. Do you hear this shit?
There are good movies and there are great movies. But that's not what we watch here because this is shitty cinema.
Merry Christmas!
We are three film masochists who love to take on the worst movies we can find, centered around our monthly theme to answer one simple question. Would you watch it again? I'm Jay, and I'm joined by Dave.
Hello.
And Casey. Every week, one of us has to pick a movie based on that month's theme. What's this month's theme, Dave?
Well, last week we finished up Dog Ate My Homework Month with Showdown in Little Tokyo.
Yes, we did.
But it's time for us to move on to a new theme. And you know what? We don't want to get sued, so we're going to watch some movies this month based on the openest sources of properties. We're going to watch folktales movies. Not DuckTales, even though I really wanted to go for that.
Oh, this is the don't get suediest month we've ever done, I think.
100%. Casey, you kicked us off with a property that's definitely uncopyrightable. What did you bring for us this week? Were you a good girl or a bad girl?
First of all, we all know the answer to that.
Yes, we do.
Secondly, I took it one step further of a not getting sued. This movie is free on YouTube. It is so free. It's using a free property, and it's on a free platform. We watched from 1980, Christmas Evil, starring nobody you know.
Casey, we need to paint a little bit of a picture in the listener's mind. So I'm going to need an elevator pitch where you sell us on this movie in 10 seconds or less. Here's your setup. It's Christmas Day, and, well, you know, you went a little hard last night. And you decided in the middle of the night that this van was about as far as you were going to make it, so you opened up the back and you popped in and passed out on all of the toys, which were pretty comfy, you know. Unfortunately, it just so happens to be the van of a serial killer who's about to just get run off a bridge. In the 10 seconds before he peels out and is driven off of a bridge, sell us on this movie.
A kid who hates Santa-themed pussy worship bucks the establishment by spreading gifts and joy and maybe kills like four people.
7 seconds.
Yeah, was four the body kills. Count? Okay, well, we'll put a pin in it because I did want to discuss what his actual body count was.
Are we going to discuss
not
his,
metaphorical.
His
no, absolutely
pussy worship
not.
Game? Okay.
All right. Let's go over the movie that Shitty Cinema watched, which I think was a what-if tale about the Christmas classic, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus,
yeah.
Turning a man into a murderer.
Let's not skip ahead of ourselves. Young Harry watches his father, dressed as Santa Claus, get fresh with his mommy as a kid. This becomes the defining trauma of Harry's life. It's his entire personality.
Harry lives Christmas, just lives Christmas oozing out of him. And, like, his home is covered in Christmas decor, and he works at a toy factory. And he also spends time observing kids, creeping on them. He creeps on kids.
Yeah, very much. Binoculars, keeping a little diary.
He's like a middle-aged Harriet the Spy. Calm down.
Yeah, a middle-aged Harriet the Spy that also has a journal for every kid with their name and records of things that they've done so he can judge them as, you know, naughty or nice.
I'm so glad that the book said bad kids and not naughty kids.
Yeah.
I don't think they knew the bullet they were dodging there, but they did. It's not just Harry's personal life that's askew. His relationship with his younger brother, Phil, is strained since Phil is totally over Harry's unusual ass behavior. Harry's work situation also is not any better.
Yeah, Harry just got promoted off the toy line, but his coworkers still don't really give him any respect. They call him a schmuck. And one of them even bullies Harry into covering his shift, only for Harry to learn that that guy was actually out drinking at a bar with friends, which doesn't set well with him.
This happens to be the proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back. Eventually. The other being a shitty work scheme that Harry learns about at the company Christmas party.
See, the owner of the factory wants to generate some goodwill by donating some toys to the local children's hospital. That is, as long as production, you know, meets certain goals, certain increases, and, you know, and the employees donate with their own money. So it's just a fucking typical corporate stooge.
Harry is absolutely seething that nobody cares about the kids. So he does the right thing. He dresses up as Santa, breaks into people's houses, and steals presents from kids to donate to them to the hospital.
Bad kids, though. He takes them from bad kids.
Okay, Casey. But Robin Hood Santa Claus is a topic for later discussion.
It's at this point Harry transforms from LARPing as Santa to method acting as Santa, in part by gluing a fake beard to his face while laughing like the Joker.
Harry jumps in his white van with a sleigh painted on the side to go to deliver presents. To the good ones, he leaves gifts. To the naughty ones, he leaves bags of dirt. Then he runs into a group of people leaving church. They make fun of him, and he responds by killing them with metal toys he made.
Harry Claus winds up at a Christmas party where he has a pretty good time. He even gives the kids some toys and advice. Then he kills the guy that tricked him into taking his shift, but leaves gifts for his kids. So, you know, it's fine,
I guess.
They
must have been good kids. Yeah.
Maybe those kids hated him, and that was part of the gift.
On Christmas Day, Harry Claus decides to celebrate by causing mayhem at his factory. Afterwards, the van gets stuck, and Harry gets spotted by a group of people who chase after the murderous Santa.
Harry blames Phil for revealing that Santa was actually just Daddy plowing Mommy's Santa Claus. Phil reacts by choking Harry unconscious and carrying him into his van.
Where Harry promptly regains consciousness, punches out Phil, and takes off down the street in his van. The mob forces Harry to veer, driving off of a bridge, and the camera tracks the van as it flies with the sleigh on the side and the moon in the background as we fade to black and get an overlay of the end of Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Okay. I need you to back up and explain to me something that is... I need you to explain the beginning scene so I can understand the ending scene.
Okay, in the beginning scene, you've
got Harry... No.
Okay.
We've got the two kids on the staircase with a mom who is looking feral. Like,
yeah.
The way she is smiling at that chimney the whole time, it's creepy. I thought she was going to be the bad guy.
Yeah, The movie opens with our main character, Harry, and his brother, Phil, as little kids on the staircase with their mom, watching Santa put presents under the tree. And we eventually find out that this is a flashback memory that Harry's just kind of recalling. And Phil had at the time told him, that's not Santa, that's Dad.
But he was obsessed with Santa. So my question, I guess, was... did he think it really was Santa? Because the way Santa's feet came down did look supernatural.
What happened was, so Phil at this time we know is 6. I don't think we ever get Harry's age, but we know that Harry's older than Phil. So Harry's maybe like 8.
I figured
this.
Like 8-ish. Yeah, he seems like sure. 2 to 3, 8 or 9.
Right. Well, so we're going to say he's 8 or 9. And they're watching... Santa, quote unquote Santa, come in and then put presents down, and then mom comes out, she's looking thirsty. Santa's like, yeah. Santa grabs her like a bowling ball, starts just putting digits all up inside of her. And the kids are like, ah, and they get out of there. And Harry has a breakdown. Later on in the film, we learn that Phil told Harry.
No. There is explicitly a scene where they go back upstairs, they're in bed. Then Harry goes back downstairs and, yes, sees Dad in
yeah.
Santa costume going down. But it's not like they were just on the stairs. Mom comes down and was like, ooh, you kids sit here and watch this.
No, okay.
I condensed it.
I'm glad you clarified.
We're not.
But wait a minute. Are we sure that it's the same Santa? Because I read it as it was real Santa had come down. Actually, like, dropped the presents off, and then Dad came home later and banged his mom. But as a child, he didn't realize it was his dad. So he thought Santa was just a guy who breaks into homes and bangs thirsty moms, which is why he was obsessed with him and obsessed becoming like with becoming him.
I think what the movie was.
This is true art. This is sparking debate.
No,
you're
you gotta
welcome,
flip it.
Everyone.
Case, you got to flip it. You got to flip it. The first one he saw was his dad putting presents down. And then the second time he came down, it was the supernatural Santa Claus slaying his mama.
See, I thought you were going to go fully like it was the Always Sunny Christmas episode where Charlie didn't realize that all those Santas were coming by to bang his mom.
Yeah.
But like,
just
no,
Santas
I,
all
even
night
better.
Through.
Yeah.
Even better.
I think the movie's the movie's given explanation is that the older brother Harry is trying to had this experience where he thought he saw the real Santa with mom and his younger brother on the stairs, and he's been arguing with his younger brother about it. I don't know if it's the same day or if it's something that's been going for a while, because you kind of get the vibe that the younger brother is really sick of hearing about Harry and Santa.
Yes. Yeah. It's his whole personality, right?
100%.
Everything about Harry is Christmas Santa Claus.
Yeah. Okay. Slightly controversial. I guess I'll say one good thing about Christmas Evil, because our main character Harry's apartment that he lives in is my personal hell. It's covered in every surface in Christmas
yeah.
memorabilia.
Yeah.
However, I am very envious of this man's morning routine. Straight out of bed, puts on his bops. Yes, they're Christmas music and I hate them, but if that's your vibe, go for it. And he immediately launches into stretches.
You paid that close attention to his morning routine?
I had to pay attention to something.
No, the man know the routine. And it's fun that you did laser focus the routine.
It's literally the only thing happening for like 5 minutes of the movie.
No. That was the whole movie.
Yes.
Every
yeah.
scene.
Okay, are
okay,
we going to talk about that now?
Okay.
Because this movie's an hour and 34 minutes. It needed to be maybe 14.
It could have been 45.
Yeah, this most certainly could have been a made-for-television movie that ended in an hour time frame with commercials.
This could have been a weird episode of Law & Order SVU. We just missed all the police part. This is before
yeah.
Benson and them get called.
It was weird because, like you said, it's free on YouTube. So I started watching it with the description underneath that a man obsessed with Christmas has a mental breakdown after being teased at work and goes on a themed rampage. Like, all right, I know where this is going. And then the movie makes it pretty obvious that you know where this is going too. And then it just doesn't for a really long time. He goes yeah. through a mental breakdown and he spends a while making Christmas themed weapons, and you'd think that'd be cool looking, but it's not.
It's not.
Yeah, they do take the joy out of it.
Yeah. You're like, all right, at least he's tooling up, so he's going to start his Christmas rampage soon, but then he doesn't for a while longer still.
No, they leave no stone unturned of all the errands and things he had to do.
Once he finally does kill somebody, it's ages before he kills anybody else.
All right, with the like slow lead up to getting there and the maybe the music being the creepiest thing about the film. Is it a horror?
Yeah.
Cuz it sells itself as a horror, but is it a
no,
horror?
No, it's just weird.
Yeah, no, it's not a horror. Like, it felt like it was going to be a horror movie, and it actually felt like it was going to be a gore movie when, at the very beginning, after seeing his dad in a Santa costume go down on his mom.
Debatable. It could have been Santa.
True. After seeing someone in a Santa costume go down on his mom, Harry immediately goes to the attic and cuts his own hands open. Unnecessary. I didn't need
hardcore
to see a kid hurting
for a kid.
Himself. Yeah. So, like, they set a premise. They're like, okay, this is what we're going to be seeing. But then they mostly didn't. There's not much horror. There's not much gore.
Nope. There's, like, no gore.
It's kind of like a psychological thing. Maybe. But they don't really do much with it.
Okay. I read on IMDb the director got the idea for this film after smoking weed and seeing and staring at a Santa that looked like it had a knife in its hand. And I would say, don't fucking bring weed into this film. You don't get to blame weed for this.
It's definitely a thin plot that gets stretched out. Like, I don't understand why there's all the padding time in between setting everything up that you know it's gonna, they're just foreshadowing for 20 minutes and then they do it for 2 minutes and then they spend 20 more minutes foreshadowing the next thing they're gonna do and you're like, yeah, no, I saw that coming.
Yeah,
everything was too long.
The individual scenes meander between getting to them.
Yes.
The individual shots that compose the scenes are too long and meander getting on to the next one.
And then sometimes they have those like really rapid fade outs like you do for a commercial. The scene changes. It was all kind of weird.
After Harry has started his Santa Claus rampage, then we have this whole extra scene where he just goes to a party and has a fairly good time. And like, okay, are we doing like a redemption thing? Or like, we're going to feed into the Santa Claus where he has such a good time as Santa. And that's so he's picturing. No, we're not doing anything with it. We're just fucking around for a little while.
Yeah.
Before he goes on to the next scene.
Yeah. He lectures the kids for a minute. And it like, they ratchet up tension with the audio. The music tries to set as though something tense is going to happen, but at no point is it tense at all. It's perfectly normal.
Somebody earlier mentioned Joker, and that's how I felt the whole time during that movie. I think this is a fair comparison, but not in the way a lot of people would like it to be.
I think there's a very apt comparison in that the directors of both were big fans of Taxi Driver. Same thing with, like, that's why I made the American Psycho reference earlier, because the end of the movie where he E.T. flies his van off into space because he somehow gained the powers of Santa Claus, that had the same vibes for me as American Psycho, the end when, you know, like, the cop cars are exploding in the street and you're getting to the point, like, okay, what has been happening in Patrick Bateman's head the whole time and what hasn't? But, you know, done shittily.
Or does that scene prove that magic is real? And now sexual Santa has adopted him, like, great job, you can have that region. Now you get to bang hot moms in your area. Pussy worship in front of the fireplace.
Yeah, or not, because nobody's actually banging in this movie. We have a couple of sex scenes, but they're not actually sex scenes. It's a woman in lingerie with a kind of gross-looking dude, Santa Claus suit optional. And he's just kind of like ooh-la-la-ing on her. That's the extent of sex. Nobody's... There's some light padding on non-erogenous zones, specifically, because we got to keep our rating down.
We see boobs once, but it's a picture of boobs.
Did we?
From Penthouse. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Moss, the naughty kid.
Yes.
Moss, who should have been the star of the show.
Oh my god. He's my favorite character.
What was on his naughty list? So he's on the bad list book.
Yeah.
Like he's in it. Mm-hmm. What were
he's
some of his
crimes?
He's got
nearly a full page in there. The ones that I made note of were impure thoughts. for the aforementioned Penthouse magazine.
So Harry has his binoculars out and is spying on kids doing things. And, like, one kid's playing with their doll, and another kid's, like, building something with Lincoln Logs or some shit. And then we get to this kid, and he is got Penthouse magazine. We cut away, cut back to him, and he has cut out a centerfold. And it's got, like, the titties out and everything. And I'm 100%. Dying.
What?
I'm fucking dying.
What kid is craftbooking? Yeah,
right.
What kid is scrapbooking with the fucking porno mags, man?
With Penthouse.
I'm glad that you were laughing at the scrapbook angle of it, because I was just playing this out. Because, yeah, Harry's on the roof of his building with binoculars staring in kids' windows.
Yeah.
And we see that he's got a clear view into this kid's window where this, I'm going to say, preteen to teenage boy has, you know, a door and a Penthouse magazine. Harry's watched him crank it, man.
Oh, yeah, that's what the impure thoughts means.
Right.
Harry goes over to Moss's house one night with a bag of, I don't know, what does he smear on his face?
Mud.
Okay. Smears mud all over his face.
And hands.
And leaves a face print and hand prints. The face print looked like a butthole, kind of. I don't know. What was he going to do? Did he just leave him a bag of mud?
He left him a bag of dirt.
At that point in the film, I don't think he had a great plan, but I think the plan was the bag of dirt. But then, yeah, Moss and his parents come out of the house and Harry has to hide in a bush. And he tries to actually grab Moss because apparently he's going to child abduction.
Yeah, was he going to kill him? Were we robbed of that movie where he kills the naughty kids?
I think so, yeah.
That's where I thought this movie was going.
But instead, Moss gets away and tells his mom, oh no, there's somebody in the bushes. And his mom's like, haha, you and your overactive imagination. And she's going to watch a report about a killer Santa later that night. And tomorrow she's going to find muddy handprints on the side of her house, along with a muddy kiss mark from him. And she's not going to sleep well for a very, very long time. I think Moss's family is going to move, actually.
She's the mom from Tool Time.
Home Improvement.
Oh, was she?
Did you not recognize our queen? Yes, Patricia What's-Her-Face.
Oh, shit.
Anyway, she also slapped the shit out of her kid for making her late for whatever the fuck they were doing that day.
I think that there's going to be a lot of, after the end of this movie, consequences of people that they really don't realize.
Oh, my God.
Because this movie ends very abruptly. It does not deal with the consequences of any of these actions.
Yeah, our main Santa Claus, Harry, drives off the bridge and either, you know, depending on how you want to interpret it, flies off into the night with Santa powers because magic is real, or dies in a fiery explosion while he hallucinates. But police are going to raid his apartment because, you know, he killed a bunch of people.
Yeah, right.
They're going to find his naughty and nice books with some fairly detailed notes on the masturbatory habits of the neighborhood children.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Moss.
Looking at you. Oh, why are we looking at him? So, do the cops, like, deliver that information to the parents? Did they have to go over there and knock on the door and be like, excuse me, ma'am.
It's 1980. Fuck
this
no.
Book.
He's dead. Case closed.
He wasn't taking pictures of the kids, and he was using some polite language to describe what the kids were up to. So, thankfully, I guess that won't be as creepy for them. I guess no creepier than knowing that you lived next to a man who went psychotic and had a Christmas-themed rampage.
Yeah, yeah. And there's also the kids whose father that Harry killed, and the mom, you know, was right there next to that, dealt with that whole situation of her husband dying on top of her, which is awful. And then, you know, the kids, Santa ran out after leaving them presents after murdering their father. That sounds like some fucking trauma.
Mm. And then, I mean, also figuring out when you finally do let your kids open your presents that some of them are from the guy that killed your husband.
Yeah.
While you lay next to him.
Yeah.
And do you tell them?
There's a scene where when Harry's on the run as Santa Claus, he comes across a bunch of little kids and their parents out on the streets. And the little kids run up to him as Santa Claus and are Santa, Santa. And he gathers around them and hugs them. At this point, it's common knowledge that there's a killer Santa on the streets. So one of the parents tries to come and scare Harry off from the kids. But the little kids are so bought in on this that they keep their parents away from Santa, including one, like, fucking child. Like a 7-year-old little girl that takes her daddy's knife and threatens to stab him to save Santa.
Yeah. Yeah, these kids, like, drop their presents and are ready to ride or die for Santa Claus.
I would have stabbed for the Backstreet Boys.
But for a mall Santa?
So at what age do those kids' parents have the conversation with them that, like, actually, yeah, you met the local legend Killer Santa on the night he was on a rampage.
And you defended him.
Yeah, you pulled a knife on your father. That's why he goes to therapy 3 times a week.
I mean, to be fair, her father was the factory owner. He was a piece of shit. She should have shanked him. That would have been a better ending. But, you know.
That girl is gonna have so much trauma.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Honestly, I love her, and I love her whole, she's ride or die for Santa.
She is ride or die for Santa.
So if Santa is real in this movie, if we're going the magical route, she's permanent good list.
We're definitely not. Santa's just a psycho guy who died in a van explosion.
But they see Santa leave the chimney when he's when he visits them when they're young. You see his feet go up.
We do, like, but that's in a flashback sequence of Harry remembering when they saw Santa. So it's
he knows what he saw, and it looked supernatural. Therefore,
he's wrong. Kids are dumb.
How dare you?
What about the work Christmas party gets at you, Casey?
Oh, my God. Number one, I missed out on 1980s work parties because the liquor was flowing.
Oh, yeah. The bartender was great.
The bartender, they just show close-ups of people pouring liquor into little cups all over. But in the work party scene, when you see everybody standing, there's not that many people at the bar. There's barely anybody like standing at the bar table. But every scene they show, zooming in on the hands, it's like they're pouring for like 45 people at once. Like, it's your first day at Coyote Ugly and you woke up with no pants on and your teeth fell out in a dream.
I mean, I wasn't working during the 1980s, but I've been to company Christmas parties with an open bar. Not seeing anybody at the bar, but the bartender's pouring all night long. That's pretty normal. There's a very few people keeping them in heavy rotation. Some of those people are going to go all night long. Some of those people are going to make asses of themselves and be talked about at work next week.
I'm hurting everyone here tonight in one way or another.
The Christmas party is also where Harry's shitty owner runs his quote-unquote donation scheme by them. And, you know, it's all just a fucking marketing ploy. And for real, Harry is pissed about that and should be. He's not necessarily for the right reasons, but he should be pissed about that.
But also, I'm not going to kill you, but I'll kill someone on the front steps of your church. That's kind of a message.
Right. He's very pissed about this, and then he mostly does nothing about it during his Christmas rampage. Like, he does, but it's only incidental. It's pure luck that he stumbles across people related to this Christmas bullshit. Because otherwise, it wouldn't have come up.
Hey, look at this. Look at this. Huh? Doesn't that make you mad? Look at this.
Right, this is a work of fiction. Being right is less important than not being boring. Because if you're boring, I just don't want to engage. It was so hard not to pause this and walk away. I wanted so desperately to do anything else but watch this fucking movie.
Kind of like Christmas sometimes.
Yeah, it has that Christmas feel. There was one part that kind of hooked me, and it's a scene where Harry is on one side of the sidewalk and there's some kids sitting on a stoop on the other side of the sidewalk, and he asks them what they wish for today.
Oh, yeah, what do you wish for Christmas? Ho, 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 ho.
The first one, you know, he's like, I wish I was principal for a day so I could have the authority to abuse.
It's not the
line.
That's
what he said.
It is not the line.
Oh, I couldn't have told you. I remember the scene. Nothing was notable in this film.
Okay, but my favorite one, what's that fucking kid's name? God, see, I'm pulling a Casey. I can't remember that kid's name that we love.
Moss?
Yeah, Moss. Moss says, I wish for a lifetime subscription to Penthouse Magazine. Just yells it out on the street.
He doesn't know any better.
A kid is gangster.
The darnest thing.
Gangster.
Unbeknownst to him, Penthouse Magazine would not even last his lifetime. Changes are coming, child.
Save them all. Take care of them, young blood.
No, he's been cutting them up, man.
I do kind of wish they'd gone with something other than Penthouse, because, like, Playboy, I think, would have been the classier choice and would have had a little better meter to it. Jugs would have had a lot better comedic timing.
Okay. I thought you were going to say, what, Hustler? Because Hustler is certainly...
That's a bit...
not much. The classiest. Jugs. Jugs would have been an interesting one.
Jugs, though. Lifetime subscription to Jugs. It's got punch to it. Can you imagine Harry Santa Claus frown when that Jugs hit him?
I really want this to be a story about him murdering Moss or trying to and hopefully getting stopped.
Oh, yeah. The version of this where they have the balls where he actually goes after the kids on the bad list.
Okay.
That might have been worth watching.
You think so?
No, probably not. But would have been better than this meandering ass bullshit.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be more stabbing. I thought this was going to be a little more slasher gore.
Yeah, my expectations of horror, which is, you know, a violation of our rules, but whatever. My expectations of horror were not played out in this film.
Yeah, it was kind of disappointing because I always thought they were going to do more. Like, I loved the eyeball stab scene in front of the church. It's very bizarre. They only show it for a second, though. And, of course, like, steak sauce comes out, essentially. And they don't linger on anything too long in that. But then the whole drive away scene. Yeah, the stuff you want them to do is over really quick. And then everything else drags the fuck out.
Which is a shame because they actually did have some good ideas. That eyeball stab scene, he was stabbing him with a toy that they produced in the factory he works at. And early on, we see a bunch of scenes of people adjusting these little cheap plastic swords that these guys come with. And then we have some scenes where he's like Iron Man in the cave making cast iron versions of it that are going to be better for stabbing eyeballs with. And like that would have actually worked a lot better to have an extended montage of him making both higher quality versions of these toys, because he had a whole monologue about how they make shitty toys for kids now.
Yeah.
And to also have some fun with him making murder versions of these toys.
Yes.
Right.
I think that's the part where the whole movie falls apart, is that we're supposed to accept that he had a traumatic event as a child that utterly broke him and has shattered him, and he's going through all of this and struggling. And the traumatic event that they show us is not that fucking traumatic. It's a kid being told that Santa's not real and then seeing his parents engage in some light petting. It doesn't really track that he's having this much trouble later on in life dealing with it.
It's a pretty thin fucking excuse. Yeah.
Something I've complained about a few times in this and we've talked about already, but I just want to be clear about the specific definition. This movie introduced me to something I called sex stills, and it turns out they make me even angrier. I don't like needless sex scenes in movies to begin with. But I get even angrier when you have a scene where characters just kind of pose in sexy scenarios and the camera lingers on them for 30 seconds to a minute while they don't have sex.
It was kind of like if you paid someone who worked at Sears to do a risque photo shoot for you and your, like, fiance in the 80s.
Exactly, yeah. The opening scene is the worst of it, when he sees his dad kissing mom's
or Santa
thigh. Or Santa, whatever. He sees someone in a Santa costume kissing
who
his
is
mom's
it really
thigh.
Casey, who the fuck is it really?
He knows what he saw, Dave.
I love where you that's the real trauma for you. Like, no, it's not the sex, it's that was the real Santa.
My mom, I stopped having a relationship with my mother over this. She's a cheating whore and a liar.
But we also have a similar sex still scene when he sees the factory worker with his wife at home later, and he's peeping through a window like a creepy peeping Tom.
Creepy peeper, look at you.
Yeah. That guy's smooching with his wife on a couch, sex still. His older brother and his wife, they get all creepy with each other, but they don't actually do anything. Sex still.
It is a sex still. Okay.
They do get a little creepy with each other. Well, I've got a bag of dirt to deliver later. So, Dave, I need to know, from 1980, Naughty or nice, would you watch Christmas Evil again?
Yeah, there's no surprises here for anybody who's listened to anything I've ever said on this podcast. Absolutely not. I'm not going to watch Christmas Evil again. Look, I don't like Christmas movies. I don't like horror movies. I don't like gore. So this movie had an uphill battle to begin with. But it was actually worse than all of those things for me, because I'll watch all of those things on occasion when they're done well. But this was fucking boring. At the end of Act Two, when it finally reached its climax and he was starting to go on his rampage, I paused the movie and went to go get lunch, because it's how little I cared about anything that was going on in this fucking movie.
I just thought you cared about your blood sugar.
So, no, I'm definitely not watching Christmas Evil again, and damn you for making me watch it even once. Jay, what about you? From 1980, starring Who Gives a Shit, Christmas Evil, would you watch it again?
Damn, Dave, you said a lot of what I was going to say. This is really lined up with things that I generally don't like. I will say that the kid yelling about Penthouse Magazine fucking slayed me. I genuinely died. I got a good chuckle out of that.
He knows what he
likes. So I had at least some fondness that I can take away from it. That being said, it wasn't something that I enjoyed. I didn't really have fun with it. It really wasn't the right campy. Honestly, I was looking at semi-related films, and there's a Rumpelstiltskin movie from like 1982 that's a horror film that looks like it might be something that I'd rather watch than this, but I'm not going to come back to Christmas Evil. So no, I would not watch it again. But Casey, what about you? This was your opening salvo for this month. 1980's Christmas Evil, would you watch it again?
Man, I went out on a limb and I feel like it broke. I had read that this was John Waters' favorite Christmas film, so I was like, all right, leave it to the professionals, and made sure there was, like, I skipped through it just a little bit to make sure there was, like, no John Waters in it.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So I had no idea what was going on, though, and yeah, I'm a little disappointed. It didn't go in any particular direction. It just was a few days in the life of Fiona Apple's dad. And man, does he love Christmas. And man, you better respect your parents, kids, and Santa. But no, I would not. This was really drawn out and boring. And my bad. But hey, it didn't go the other way. Nobody died while fucking a chicken. Or no chickens died while people fucked around it. So, that's it. The verdict is 0 out of 3 of us would watch Christmas Evil again. That was bomb. That was Cole.
Big ol' swing and a miss there.
Jay, I hope you can do better next week. What are you going to bring?
I'm taking us back to some classic European folktales. And we're going to take a little spin on Hansel and Gretel. This one is from 2013, starring Jeremy Renner and Famke Jensen, called Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
I will watch anything with Famke Jensen at least once. Well, I'll start working out now so I can eat my gingerbread house later. Follow us on Instagram at casey.cinema. Like us on Facebook, sh.ttycinema. Donate to our multi-million-dollar company so we can buy children toys with your money at patreon.com/shittycinema or peepshittycinema.com. Check the show notes for those links, and in the meantime, let's turn out the lights. Use airplane glue to glue plastic facial hair on ourselves. And go sniff some paint fumes before dropping off presents at the wrong people's houses.